Our dear God, thank you for this opportunity that as a church, you have given us the freedom to study your word together. Lord, it is our desire to know you more today. And grant us the desire to obey your truth every day of our lives. In whatever circumstance we may be in, help us to obey you. And as we obey your word, help us to glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you will anoint me, your servant, that you will use me as your mouthpiece, that whatever message that you want us to hear from you, you will use me to be an instrument of your truth. May I not serve as a hindrance for your truth today. Guide us now, Lord. Open our understanding. Open our hearts to receive your truth today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning once again. And for today, let me start by saying or asking you, are you familiar with what we call the ripple effect? Ripple effect. Ripple effect is like a chain reaction. And usually the ripple effect, we experience this or we observe this in a body of water. I remember when I was still enrolled in a learn to swim class, I usually go during the morning session, and if I arrive early in the pool area, I am always amazed to see the pool very still, very quiet, and you see the steam of the water. But once swimmers would now start going to the water, that stillness of the water is now lost. Waves start to become more, and as more swimmers get into the pool, more waves are being produced. And it will be a long time again before you see that peace, that stillness on the surface of the water. So when shaking comes in the surface of the water, the stillness is lost. And brethren, same is true with life. When shaking comes, stillness is lost. When trials come, stillness is lost. So I think you know where I'm coming from. You know what happened to my family. Just recently, my mother had a bad fall. And because of that, she was confined in the hospital. That became a shaking in our family. And together with that, we have situations around us, our economy, the war in Iran, personal troubles, difficult children to deal with, difficult spouse to deal with, maybe. Just to name a few. These are situations that shake us. I don't know how many among us here are going through tough times, but I pray that whatever we will study today, God will use it to minister to you. I will be sharing to you a very famous psalm today. And this psalm was used by the Lord to comfort me while we were still in the hospital. The Lord used this to continually comfort me every day. I always recite the verses of this psalm to remind me who my God is in the situation that my family is going through right now. So it is my prayer that the Lord will use this to minister to all of us. And the psalm that we will study this morning is no other than Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is very familiar because of verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't it? That verse is very familiar to all of us. So may I now invite you to please open your Bibles to Psalm 46. Let's read the entire chapter. I'll be reading from the ESV. So this is to the choir master of the sons of Korah according to Alamoth. This is a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes the war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Praise God for the reading of His word. If I may give a title for this preaching today, I would like to entitle this, Be Still, for God is our refuge. Be still because God is our refuge. So before we unpack this psalm, let's just look at a very brief background of this psalm. If you are familiar with the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, the hymn written by no other than Martin Luther, Psalm 46 served as the catalyst for Martin Luther to be able to write that very beautiful hymn. So this psalm inspired him to be able to write that hymn. Also, this psalm, if you will compare it to Psalm 47 and 48, those three psalms are considered a trilogy called Psalms of Triumph. All three psalms were attributed to the sons of Korah. And also, Psalm 46 is called a Song of Zion. And it is grouped to the songs of Zion, like Psalm 48, Psalm 76, 84, 87, and 122. So when a psalm is called a Song of Zion, it means that psalm glorifies God as the dwelling place of Jerusalem. It is a psalm that symbolizes God as the divine protector of His city, Jerusalem. Now, Regarding when this psalm was written, many scholars believe that this psalm was composed during the reign of King Hezekiah. That was way back 701 BC. That was when the Assyrian Empire was under Sennacherib. Okay? And this Assyrian Empire surrounded Jerusalem. So if you will compare the size of the Assyrian Empire and Jerusalem, Assyrian Empire was so huge compared to Jerusalem. And humanly speaking, the situation of Jerusalem during that time was hopeless. A very massive superpower was against a very tiny city. But God intervened in that situation. If you will go to 2 Kings chapter 19, you will see the story there that God sent one angel to destroy 185 men, defeating or destroying the Assyrian army overnight only. And in that victory, Judah did not need to fire any single arrow. So imagine that event. A very tiny city surrounded by a superpower. So if you will imagine that, if we will be surrounded by China, parang ganun po yung comparison yan. A superpower surrounding a tiny, helpless nation. But God intervened. Just overnight, the Assyrian army was destroyed. God just sent one angel to kill 185,000 members of that Assyrian army. So that's the context of Psalm 46. Also in the psalm, if you will go to the superscription, which we have also read earlier, this psalm is to the choir master of the sons of Korah. According to Alamoth, this is a song. So this is not a psalm of David. This is a psalm written by the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah are worship leaders during that time. If you will recall in one of the psalms that we have studied, I have already given the background regarding the sons of Korah. Their father was dealt with God. Their father was eaten up by the earth because of his disobedience to God. But God spared the children of Korah and they became worship leaders. And this song or this psalm is a song given to the choir master. So this song was sung during occasions before. And this is also an alamoth. Alamoth means young girls, which means this song is designed for high voices, for the sopranos. Okay? So medyo high pitch. So we don't know the original tune of this one, but if you will look at the description, this song was designed for the sopranos. And going through the psalm, if you will see the psalm, there are three divisions. And the divisions can be distinguished by the word salah. And when we have the word salah, it means it's a pause, it's a time to meditate upon what was mentioned in the verse or in the portion. There are three divisions. So for today, I will follow those divisions. And since this is a song, you will also find in the song that there are three lines commonly seen in those sections. For the second and the third sections, very obvious because exactly the same. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In the first part, it's not written in that manner, but we find it in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. So that's the refrain. That's the chorus of the song. And that's the main theme of the song. God being our refuge. So let's now look at the psalm. Let's look at the first part, verse 1 to verse 3. And I would like to entitle this section as the presence of God. Let's read again the three verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. This psalm starts with a declaration of faith. It starts by giving a confession of faith by the psalmist. But together with that confession, there is this reality check given by the psalmist. And he starts also by mentioning there that trouble is a reality in their lives. Where do we see that? Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So the psalmist here is implying that in the life of the believer, trouble, anguish, adversity, afflictions, distress, tribulations are a reality. We don't need the proof. Just look at your life. Since you became a Christian, you've been through so many trials. Trouble is a reality in the believer's life. John 16:33 says, in the world, you have tribulation. 1 Peter 4:12 says, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Psalm 34:19 also says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Trouble is a reality. However, the psalmist proclaims his confession of faith. God is my refuge, my strength, and a very present help in trouble. So here we will now find three attributes that the psalmist gives to his reader. God is our refuge, a shelter from the storm, a trustworthy place of hope. In some portions of the scripture, you will find that God being a refuge is also given as God as a rock, as a cliff, as a high place, a safe place to run to. So the psalmist here is giving that reality to his reader. God is our refuge. And he did not stop there. He also says, God is our strength. The psalmist here is saying that for his reader, when you are in trouble, the source of your strength is no other than God. Strength will not come from you. Might will not come from you. Power will not come from you. It is from God. God is the one that sustains his children, even when everything is collapsing. And the third is God is the very His help is very present. So when trouble comes, the psalmist is saying to his reader, God is there to extend His help. But not only to extend His help, but His help is very present, which means His help is abundantly available. What an assurance for the reader. When you are in trouble, God's help is abundantly available. It means it can easily be found in the midst of crisis. Trouble is real, but God is our refuge, our strength. His help is ever present. So you will now see the resolution of the psalmist. Because God is our refuge, strength, and His help is ever present, he now gives his resolution. Therefore, we will not fear. A very powerful resolution by the psalmist. We will not fear. Because of this portion of the psalm, it makes Psalm 46 unique because you find the conclusion at the beginning of the psalm. Because God is our strength, our refuge, His help is ever present, therefore we will not fear. There is no reason to fear because God is there for His children. And if you will continue reading the first section of that psalm, the psalmist now gives, there's no reason to fear, regardless of any situation that may come to us. And he says to his readers, even the harshest calamities must not stop us in trusting God. Even the harshest calamities must not bring us to fear, because even the harshest calamities, the truth that God is our refuge, that He is our strength, that His help is ever present, will always be there. And what imagery did the psalmist use there? Read the second part of verse 2. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, he now uses a massive earthquake as an imagery. For those among us who experienced the 1990 earthquake, you know what it means to have a massive earthquake. That's why for those who witnessed the 1990 earthquake, even up to this point in our lives, when there is an earthquake, even though it's not that strong, kigtot my heart, di ba? Nagugulat tayo, natatakot tayo. We remember what happened in 1990. And if you will look at the description of the psalmist here, he used a massive earthquake. Look at that description. Though the mountains be moved. Imagine a mountain being moved, being removed from its place. A mountain is a solid place. It's a sign of refuge for them. And yet, he uses that description that though the mountains be moved, so if you will imagine the second part of verse 2, it's like a mountain beside the sea that the mountains will now crush and the sea will even eat up the portion of the mountain. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, so when there is shaking, the sea will not have cute waves. It will have tidal waves. that will eat up even portion of the mountain. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So the psalmist here uses the harshest possible adversity. And yet, the confession in verse 1 stands firm. God is our refuge and our strength. That section ends with the word Selah. It's a pause. It's a time of meditating upon the truth. So for today, instead of me finishing the entire psalm first before we go to the application, let's take now this opportunity to bring this home. Let that be our pause. Let that be our time of meditation about the truth that we saw in the first section. Trouble is real. I don't know what trouble you are in right now. I don't know what trials you have in life right now. But I'm sure many of us are going through times of difficulties. But I pray that the first section already ministered to us. Trouble is real. We cannot avoid it. But the God that the psalmist worship is the same God that we worship. The God that saved the psalmist is the same God that saved our souls. If the psalmist can profess that God is his strength, his refuge, and the help of God is ever present, we can also do that as believers. Even in the harshest trouble that we have in life, remember this, brethren, God is our refuge. He is our strength. His help is abundant. It's readily available. Therefore, we should not fear. We should not fear. Troubles become opportunities to discover God as our refuge, to draw upon His strength, and to experience His ever-present help. If you will meditate upon verse 1 of Psalm 46, I have mentioned earlier that trouble is a reality. It is under the sovereignty of God. So if you will try to meditate upon the truth, if there are no troubles in our lives, if there are no problems in our lives, if there are no storms in our lives, how will we understand God as a refuge? If there will be no troubles in our lives that we will feel so weak and helpless, how will we understand God as our strength? If there are no troubles in our lives where we will experience a great need, how will we understand God that His help is ever present? So, brethren, when troubles come, God allowed those troubles to come along our lives to strengthen us, to experience Him in our lives. So we can say with the psalmist, God is our strength. God is our refuge. That He is our help. His help is ever present. And that will be an assurance for us not to be afraid. for us not to fear the situation. Instead, fear God, for He is sovereign and holy over our lives. And I pray that that truth will sink in deep in our hearts, so that when troubles will come our way, we can say, Lord, You are my refuge. You are my strength. Thank You for Your help. That's the first part. Second part of the song is from verse 4 to 7. And for that passage, let's read that. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what do we find in that section? Let me entitle that, The Peace of God. At verse 4 starts with, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. So we find there the river of gladness. And if you will look at that line, it mentions there that there is a river in the city of God. So when you find the phrase city of God, it refers to where you will find the tabernacle, where the presence of God dwells, and that place is no other than Jerusalem. The city of God being referred to in verse 4 is Jerusalem. And it mentions there that there is a river in the city of God. Geographically, there is no river in Jerusalem. Because what you will find in Jerusalem is just a small spring called Gihon. They don't have a river. So clearly, the psalmist here is using the river as an imagery. Because river as an imagery represents peace. It represents peace. Therefore, when the psalmist said, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, it means there is the presence of God in Jerusalem, and that presence of the Lord is the one that refreshes, that gives the peace to His people. So it's not about a literal river. So if you will also remember the hymn of Horatio Spafford, the hymn It Is Well, isn't it? There is a line there that talking about the river, which is representing peace. So most likely, Horatio Spafford also got the idea from Psalm 46. So here, again, God is the source of peace. And reading again that portion, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. So God Himself is the source of peace, and He is in the midst of His people. That's in verse 5. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. What a powerful declaration. She shall not be moved. God is not only the source of peace, God is in the midst of Jerusalem. And because God is in their midst, God is also the one providing stability to them. So if you will compare the first section and the second section, it's a contrast from chaos to peace, from turmoil to stillness, and peace comes only from God. God is in the midst of His people. Therefore, Jerusalem shall not be moved. Last line of verse 5. What else do we see there? God will help her when morning dawns. Once again, the psalmist gives there the assurance that help can only come from God. And what is the description there? God will help her when morning dawns. So during their time, remember, there was still no electricity. So during the night, when there is turmoil, that's the worst part of the day. Like when we have typhoons, that's the time of the day that I hate most during the evening, especially when there is no current, because it's so frightening. But when another day breaks, I find hope during storms. And that's the description of the psalmist here, that when the dawn breaks, there is still hope. Isn't it in Lamentations chapter 3, the mercies of God are new every morning. There is peace in the presence of God. He is the source of peace. He will make His city stable, His children stable. He will be the source of their help. Therefore, they will not be moved. And verse 6, we will now find there the situation of the nations. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. So what do we now find in verse 6? Again, that's another verse that will show us, as readers of this psalm, that God is the source of peace. The nations rage. They roar. They shout aloud. They panic. They get mad. The kingdoms totter. The kingdoms are moved. The kingdoms are shaken. The kingdoms are collapsed. But look at the second part of verse 6. He utters. God utters His voice. The earth melts. One word from God and the earth melts. The voice of God can outweigh any fury of any superpower. That line in verse 6 is like the instance that the apostles experienced when they were in the middle of the storm during the night, and when the Lord Jesus said, "Hush, be still." One word of the Lord, and everything became still. The nations may rage, the kingdoms may totter, but He utters His voice, the earth melts. And we now go to the chorus. We now go to the chorus of the song. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's a chorus of the song, and it gives emphasis on the main message of the song. And what do we find in that chorus? Once again, there is the assurance of the presence of God. The Lord of hosts is with us. there is again the assurance that God is their refuge. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But look at the descriptions there of God. Verse 7a, the Lord of hosts is with us. Why did the psalmist use the Lord of hosts? What do we mean by the Lord of hosts? The Lord of hosts comes from the phrase Yahweh Sabaoth. Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. And this name of God, the Lord of hosts, was used in the Bible approximately 300 times. And this name of the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, means the Lord of the armies, the commander of heavenly armies. It means Lord of hosts, He is the God who is absolutely sovereign over all things. It means that He is the God who is all-powerful. It means that He is the God who is the commander of all, Lord of hosts. And what an assurance for the readers. God did not only promise to them His presence, He also reminded them of His authority. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the armies. He is greater than any of them. Remember the context? They were being surrounded by a great army. But God defeated all those men in just one night by sending one angel, killing 185,000 members of the Assyrian army. That's their God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, promising His presence to be in their midst. That's why peace can be in their midst, because the source is the Lord of hosts, the God who can say, hush, be still. Last part of verse 7, assurance that God is their fortress, their refuge. And here, God is described the God of Jacob. Why the God of Jacob? Who was Jacob? Jacob was a man who struggled so much, as a man who lived in deception, a man who was weak, a man who wrestled with God, and a man who was saved by God. So when the psalmist used there the title, the God of Jacob, he is now emphasizing here that the God of Jacob is the God who is merciful, faithful, the God who protects the weak, the God who protects and saves the flawed, the God who protects and saves the struggling. What an assurance. What an assurance. And again, that section ends with Selah. A time of pause. A time of meditation. So let's bring home that section in our lives. Shaking can remove peace in our lives. Struggles, problems, difficulties will remove peace in our hearts. But this section tells us that God is the source of peace. And He is in our midst. Because He is in our midst, We must be stable. We will not be moved. His help is fresh every morning. God in His Word can say, "Hush, my child, be still. Be still because I am the Lord of hosts who is with you. I am the great I am, the Lord of the armies. Who can defeat me? Is your trouble too much for my power? I am the God of Jacob. Who is your fortress? I know you are weak, child, but I am the God of the weak. I am the God of Jacob, and I am the fortress of the weak." Brethren, God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, is our source of peace. He's continually promising His presence in our lives. Jesus is our Emmanuel, the God with us. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of His presence in our lives. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. His way, His timing. Okay, last part. 8 to 11. Let's read that section and let me entitle that section, "The Power of God." Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The power of God. The first part of that section, the psalmist now invites his reader to review God's work. Come, behold the works of the Lord. That's an invitation. For the reader, come, see, behold, meditate upon the works of the Lord. And the psalmist now lists down some of the works of the Lord that He has done for them. And what are those? How He has brought desolations on earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Go back to the context of this psalm. They were surrounded by a great Assyrian army. A very tiny city. The psalmist was saying to his readers, go back to that. Go back to the victory that God has given you. The situation was so impossible for you to win. But God intervened. He brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. God can make wars to cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So in verse 9, we will find there that God in His power can destroy even the strongest enemy. That imagery, He breaks bow and shatters the spear. He can destroy the enemy. He burns the chariots with fire. So during that time, chariots were used by strong nations. Chariots were representation of power because chariots were used to charge, to attack, but God can burn the chariots with fire. He can stop the enemy. He can make the war cease. He can make the war stop. That's the power of God. That's how great God is. Then verse 10 comes, the command. And in verse 10, if you will read that, you will find quotation marks. And the psalmist here quotes God himself. So in verse 10, the psalmist here is saying to his reader, listen now, because God himself is talking in this verse. Be still and know that I am God. Look at the structure. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There are two commands that we will find in verse 10. The first command is to be still. That word comes from the Hebrew word rapha, which means to cease striving, to drop your weapons, to hold off, to be quiet, to cease, to let alone. So when the psalmist was giving this to his reader, he was saying to his readers, let go of your own strength. Let go of your weapons. Surrender to your God. Just be quiet. Just be still. Submit to the sovereignty of God. Rest in His power. Rest in His wisdom. Rest in His guidance. Why? Because God is your refuge. He's your strength. His help is ever present. He is your peace. He is in your midst. You will not be moved. Therefore, be still. Therefore, do not fear. Be still. That's the first command. Be still. Second command, and know that I am God. Acknowledge that He is God. Understand that He is the all-powerful God. Be aware that He is indeed God. Knowing God means acknowledging His absolute authority and sovereignty over all troubles. Again, let me repeat that. Knowing God is acknowledging of His absolute authority and sovereignty over all troubles. Two commands, be still. And know that I am God. And God continues, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So here, God now declares His sovereignty and His supremacy. And declares, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's the great God of the psalmist. The God who will be exalted among the nations, the God who will be exalted in the earth. So by implication, the psalmist is also saying that if the people of God will not be still, and if the people of God will not acknowledge that He is God, how can God be exalted among the nations? How can God be exalted in the earth? And the psalm ends repeating again verse 7. Repeating again the chorus. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let's bring home the last section. Let's pause for that. What's the invitation in the last part? Come, behold the works of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord in your lives, brethren. How He has saved you. That's the greatest work of the Lord in our lives. Saving us from hell. And if we truly understand that, we will know that God has already saved us from the greatest problem that we have, which is hell. If God had the power to save us from hell, will He not save us from the troubles of this life? Is there trouble greater than the power of our God? God already secured our victory. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. God can cease wars. This war in Iran, it's already causing panic for the Philippines because of the fuel price increase, because of the effect in our economy. But God's power can make that war cease. Therefore, what do we need to do? Be still. Be still. When we panic, we are not still. When we panic, we do not trust God because we trust in our own strength. We trust in our own wisdom. We trust in our own ways. That's why the meaning of be still is let go. Let go of whatever you are holding on to right now. You are trusting your own strength. Let go. And let God. You are trusting in your own resources. Let go. And let God. Having a member in the family hospitalized can easily wipe out a bank saving. Like my mom, who was confined in Scared Heart Hospital, Sacred Heart, them. Because every day when you see the bill, your heart will be scared. Scared Heart Hospital. I love SLU, I work there. But the hospital is scary. Scared Heart. Pero, when we were in the hospital, every day I checked the bill. I really confessed to the Lord, Lord, grabe, ang mahal. But the Lord will bring me back to passages like this. My child, let go. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. The God who is all-powerful. The God who is your refuge, your strength. My help is ever present before you. I am your peace. You might be in turmoil right now, but I am your peace. I am in your midst. I will give stability to you. You will not be shaken because I am with you. Hush. Be still. God is sovereign. He knows everything. He is in control. He is God. He is God. And to summarize everything in Psalm 46, troubles will come our way. We will not be able to avoid that. But do not fear. Do not fear. Because God is our refuge, our strength. He's our peace. He's our victory. His help is ever present. As I have also said earlier, God in His sovereignty will allow us to go through trials and testings. Because how can we understand God being the refuge if we don't have a storm in our lives that we need to run to Him for shelter? How will we understand Him to be our strength if there are no troubles in our lives that will lead us to full surrender to God, that will bring us to our knees and say, Lord, ikaw lang. I cannot do this on my own. I need you here. How will we understand God to be our peace if there will be no shaking in our lives? Because if we think we are in peace and we are away from the Lord, then that peace is coming from our own strength. But when that shaking comes, that peace that we call in our hearts will be tested. But if our peace is in God, God's peace surpasses all understanding. And that is the peace that is with us. So whatever situation we may have, may we obey the command, be still, and know that He is God. It's a difficult command. It will be tested during difficult times. And may we exalt God when we respond to the trials that we experience in life. Brethren, I shared to you this psalm not because I have perfected already that obedience to be still and know that He is God. I believe that God brought my family to that situation to see this psalm. To be able to teach this psalm to you because I went through a similar situation. Amen. So before we close in prayer, I would like us to sing the last worship song that we have sung earlier, No Other Name. I like the line that says here, He created all there is with His own hands. And yet, the smallest need He understands. God is sovereign. Come, behold His works. May I now invite everyone to please rise and let's sing this song. Let's exalt the Lord in our midst. Let's exalt the Lord in our lives. Above His name, there is no name.
Above His name, there is no other name. The One who is eternally the same. There is no other name.
He's the first and the last.
The first and last.
Everything.
He was the King who made the common man.
The God of Jacob.
There is no other name.
Let's proclaim this.
Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name.
Magnify your name, Lord. Father, thank you for Psalm 46 that we have studied today. Lord, I pray for my brethren who are here. I don't know the troubles that they have in their lives right now. I don't know their difficult situations. I don't know their struggles, their trials, their problems. But Lord, you know them all together, for you are sovereign. Burn this message in our hearts, Lord. Bring this to remembrance, especially when we are tempted not to trust you. Bring us back to the truth that you are our refuge, that you are our strength, that your help is ever present, that you are our peace, that you are in our midst, that you are our stability, that you are our victory. You are the Lord of hosts. You are the God of Jacob. Therefore, Lord, we will not fear. Therefore, Lord, we will be still and we will know that you are our God. Be exalted in our lives. Lord, help us to trust you more. Even with the war happening in Iran, we don't know what other effects this will have, especially in our economy. We don't know, Lord, the condition of our nation for the next months because of this war. But you can make wars cease. That's how powerful you are. And you are the trustworthy God. And in you, we put our hopes. In you, we put our trust. As your word says, Lord, our times are in your hands. Lord, help your people not panic in times of turmoil, but help us to run to you for refuge and help. Thank you, Lord. Bless our hearts as we have listened to your word today. And Lord, as we give to your work in this church, even through these difficult times, help us to give by faith. Help us to give trusting, Lord, that you will provide for all our needs. That you are also faithful in providing the needs of this church. Let our giving be a sign of worship. Be glorified even in our giving. And Lord, I pray now for everyone who came today. Let your blessing be upon each one. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.